This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So it's the Champions League final in Cardiff this weekend. Real Madrid are up against Juventus. I think it's fair to say there's a consensus these are probably the two best teams in Europe at the moment. Real Madrid, though, if they win, it'll be three Champions League titles in just 4 years. If that comes to pass and they do win it on Saturday, should they be considered one of the best teams of all time, given that record? I mean, three times in 4 years is an incredible record. I'm not even probably the Real Madrid team of the 60s and were the last team to do that.
It's funny how history maybe judges some teams. I think if we sit right now in this kind of microcosm of looking at this Real Madrid team, I'm chuckling away when you're suggesting that it could possibly, because we don't really consider this team with such individual flair as being one of the best in the world. But I'd say, what is it, Real Madrid? It's the most functional Real Madrid team I've ever seen in my lifetime, and that's what's getting them results. And I'm sure we'll expand on that a lot, especially what Zinedine Zidane's brought in that regard. Right now, I just can't see it. Yes, they get results, winning trophies, Champions League finals. I don't know, is this one for like 10, 15 years' time? We might look back and go, maybe at the time we should have thought, yeah, they weren't half bad.
They're respected, but not loved. That's how I would. Yeah. That's how I would say this Real Madrid team. The squad depth they've got is quite staggering, but they're not loved in the same way as other teams.
So are they almost in contrast to Pep Guardiola's Barcelona team of a few years ago, where you know they won, what was it, two Champions Leagues in three years? Mm-hmm. Or yes. So they got results, but they kind of set a zeitgeist for the whole of football, whereas this Real Madrid team, as you say, are just the process of grinding out results. They don't really have a definable identity.
They don't in terms of pure football and identity, and they don't have the same romantic backstory that so many of that Barcelona team coming through La Masia had. But that doesn't mean that their achievement should be downplayed, I don't think. I mean, no team since the Milan team, the late 80s going into the 90s, has retained the Champions League. So if they're able to do that and break that sequence, that's been one of the kind of hallmarks of the Champions League since it's been created, that no one can go back and do it again. If they're able to do this, it would be stunning.
Well, I would say it's a team of guys who are an absolute optimum point in their careers, and that's one of the big reasons they're getting results as well. Sergio Ramos, Cristiano Ronaldo, Toni Kroos especially, I mean Casemiro coming on as well. Whereas the Barcelona thing, like you say, on one hand it redefined football as we knew it, that will forever stay with them. We can't say that about this Real Madrid team. They're just a team where everyone is hitting the sweet spot at the right time, and they're just an absolutely devastating football team and are picking up trophies as a result.
It kind of reminds me of like the New England Patriots in football, in that they can bring in, you know, the big players at the big times. You know, clutch has been the kind of term used for Ramos and even Zidane as a coach, a clutch coach. The big moments every single time they've come good.
So are they a result of Zidane's quality as a coach, and leading on from that, does he get the credit that he deserves as a coach? Because a lot of the time people will say, well, you know, look at the squad that he's got. He's got Ronaldo, he's got Bale, Benzema, Isco, all these wonderful world-class players, and yet he's the first Real Madrid manager in a long time to tick off everything on the list. Mourinho won the league, didn't win the Champions League. Ancelotti won the Champions League, didn't win the league. It now looks like, well, Zidane's won the Champions League and has now won the league. So is it about time he got that credit that he is one of the best in the world?
But what more credit? How do you define him that then? Because what more credit do you need? We're not discussing him in the same kind of pantheon as Jose Mourinho, Pep Guardiola.
Well, I think there's a general consensus that he's not yet a part of the Mourinho, Ancelotti, Guardiola club, you know.
Is that just time? I mean, I think that's where it comes in, because he's still a new coach. And yeah, he's getting devastating results. And what he's made this Real Madrid team is more than the sum of its parts. He's making it a functional team. He's been able to bring together the kind of core elements of what we would say what makes a top football team really tick. Someone who's able to turn over possession in midfield and play the press on teams when they're trying to build through. And then that devastating ability to counter-attack or move forward. Whereas the Real Madrid hallmark has always been about quick ball and trying to build, not build from the back, but with pace. down the flanks especially. And that kind of evolved over the last few years. You see it more and more, especially when more Toni Kroos came into the team and that kind of evolution, and James Rodriguez for a spell. Whereas Real Madrid just strike me, I don't mean functional as in boring. It's just functional as in just devastatingly effective.
Yeah, I mean, football management is more than just about tactics. And while he might not be considered maybe one of the great tacticians, and maybe the way that Mourinho was able to spoil games and be defensively set up, or Guardiola was made to create a free-flowing attacking game, is man management of Real Madrid. How many managers have you seen come and go at Real Madrid? Or the camp's not happy even when they're winning. With Zidane, that's been kept to about as a minimum as I can remember. There's only been one or two little things that's ever come up. And that's credit to him, because there's been people at Ancelotti or famed for their man management who had more problems with the team than Zidane's had.
Well, I wonder how much the stock he has at Real Madrid. This is a guy who spent such a big chunk of his career there and can understand the very unique internal politics of everything that goes in there. And I mean that above the playing squad as well, and the pressures that come from the president and from the members as well, and from the stands. I mean, we know it's a very volatile support. That buys a little bit of leeway, and I think that may apply to the squad as well. As a player, he's a guy who would command the utmost respect whether he had been a Real Madrid player or not, but you just feel he get that little bit more gravitas. And that's before you bring his personality into play. It's almost like it's the Pep Guardiola kind of aura of respect as well, because you've been there, done that, and can identify with it.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn and look at Juventus for a moment. They're obviously up against Real Madrid. It's not just one team in the Champions League final this weekend. Are they the best equipped team that Real Madrid have faced so far to beat Real Madrid? I mean, they're very defensively solid. You talk about, Grant, you were talking about Real Madrid playing quick ball there. Juventus aren't going to be caught out by that. Can they beat them?
The thing with Juventus is, it's not that they can spring a surprise, because it's utterly predictable the way they can just catch teams. But, you know, I've struggled for years and years now with Juventus to put your finger on exactly what it is that just creates this kind of whole thing for them that just really makes them tick and makes them devastatingly effective. They're by no means the top scorers in Serie A. Yes, they've got this defensive solidity. Yes, they have these players who can just spark a game. But it's just, it still retains this element of unpredictability about them that makes them this really devastating opponent, this really unpredictable opponent to come up against. And we've seen it in the Champions League so much, but it's, they've been written off along the way, all different opponents, and they're just able to turn anyone over.
Scott, you watch a lot of Italian football. What makes them so good? Why are they so consistent is another thing. You know, Juventus are always there or thereabouts.
They can attack and defend from so many different options. I think, you know, in Alexandro, they've probably got one of the best fullbacks in the world. And I think one of the real interesting battles is going to be the fact Alexandro and Marcel as fullbacks. I think Pjanic has been very underrated, how he's slotted into that midfield. Marchisio gives you a little bit of steel. The defence is such a well-drilled unit. Obviously, we've seen them, you know, they managed to stop Barcelona scoring. Barcelona outscored Real Madrid in La Liga. So, you know, we know what they can do there. And then you have wide players as well. So it's not even just the fullbacks that can provide the width, but you've got people like Cuadrado that can come in and drift into wide areas and cause real problems and link up with Higuain. And then you've got Dybala, the joker in the pack. So, you know, there's all these different parts. If you maybe shut down one, well, there's maybe another one there. So, you know, this Juventus team, I've done fantastically well to come back from 2 years ago losing the Champions League final. They now, I think, have more options and are less one-dimensional than they were before.
This match is going to be framed as attack versus defence. That's just the way it's going to be. Is that unfair on Juventus to say that they're purely a defensive side? Obviously, that's something they excel at. They're fantastic at that. But this is not Catenaccio that they're playing.
No. It's a solid core they have in the team, and that gives them the building blocks to do other things. Like Scott says, they have these so many different components to their team, where they can build attacks from, where they can soak pressure up. Because, like you say, they're not a team that's sitting on the 18-yard line and just try and launch counter-attacks from teams trying to overwhelm them in every sense. They're able to control games. That defence is purely serves there as a base to build from. It's not a case of defence versus attack. Both teams have these elements in them. Real Madrid, it's more in the defensive midfield positions, more in the central and you know, in the areas, the 30 yards around the centre box, they're most effective. But they have comparisons to Juventus in that regard with defensive solidity. Both teams have strength in the defensive position, in the defensive strategy of the team and in the attack.
Well, yeah, Real Madrid more recently, because Bale's been out injured, they've actually excelled in controlling games with Isco coming in. So there is a bit of a similarity there as well between the two teams. I was just going to, you mentioned Pjanic, Scott, coming into Juventus. Are they a better team since Paul Pogba left?
I think they've become even more disciplined, as Grant said. I think what Pjanic has kind of given them is that combination with Khedira. It allows either one to go. I've noticed a huge difference in Khedira in terms of his goal scoring. His stats are incredible for what really should, especially that part of his game, probably should be a declining part as he gets older. Pjanic as well, I think, doesn't maybe get the credit or maybe the attention from opposition that maybe should. And he's certainly obviously not as high profile either as a player or as a personality as Pogba was. So perhaps that plays a part in it, but he was always a very, you know, well-regarded player at Roma. But I think he stepped up. I think that culture within Juventus, that winning environment, has really suited him, and he's learned a lot from that.
It's the positions he plays well, because I think when Paul Pogba left, a lot of people, it would be the very lazy approach to say the Juventus team could fall down around that. But Paul Pogba was not what gave them the, like we say, the solidity to be able to do things. He was the maverick, but he plays in a position where you're looking for a player who can, has good close control, can drift into space, can dictate the tempo of games. And those players can be 10 a penny, in a sense. Now, I know Paul Pogba is perhaps on another level, but Pjanic coming has already had the capabilities to come in and play in that kind of position and come into a team where he could build upon that. He's not the player of the stature of Paul Pogba we're talking on the world stage, but he's just as effective, and he brings different qualities to that team as well.
Mm-hmm. Switching back to focus on Real Madrid ahead of this game, if you look at the second Galacticos era of Ronaldo, Benzema, Kaká at the time coming in, Real Madrid have been incredibly consistent in the Champions League since then, in making semi-finals pretty much every year. And I can't off the top of my head, I can't remember how many semi-finals in a row it is, but I know it's a lot anyway. For how long does this spell of dominance, I suppose, if it will be dominance if they win three Champions Leagues out of 4 years, for how long does this continue? Does it depend on Ronaldo finally declining? I don't know when that's going to happen, because every season we ask that. You know, does it depend on Bale maybe leaving, which has been raised recently? Is there a point where they need to kind of rebuild, or does it just sustain itself forever?
I think they've been able to, I'll sum this up as quick as I can, in that they've just consistently just added little parts to the team, and it allows the squad to evolve. But if someone's going to drop off at some point, and inevitably do in some positions, not to the extent of Cristiano Ronaldo, but we've seen it in other positions in the team, they've been so clever with the strategy where guys have just come in, slotted in, you don't notice it happening. Now, we're going to get to a stage where Cristiano Ronaldo leaves, okay, well, where are we at that stage? But this is a team that doesn't have a cycle as a team. It's constantly evolving. So it's never going to drop off in, say, 2 years' time when everyone's, like the Inter Milan team, suddenly everyone just falls off a cliff when they win the Champions League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott. Perez has learned, I think, from the Galactico era, and he's now learning to trust the way that transfers should happen for the benefit of the team and the business. He couldn't, in the Galactico era, he couldn't make those two marry up. He's found a way now. There's no reason to change.
Mm-hmm. Prediction time, how do you see it going on Saturday?
I think Juventus are going to do it. I mean, I really do. I think they'll absorb a lot of the pressure, because that's just what they do. It doesn't matter who they come up against, it doesn't matter how clever your attacking strategy is, Juventus have got them down to a T. Set plays, I think, will be a big part, and I know Juventus are so solid there, but I think that's where Real Madrid, we might just see Real Madrid's goals come from, especially Cristiano Ronaldo's prowess at, especially corner kicks as well. I know we're coming up against one of the best defences in world football, but it's just that little, that's where I think the chinks of light are going to come from Real Madrid. It's either going to be that or counter-attacks. And for Juventus, I just think they don't need to control the play, but they will get more opportunities across the game. I'm absolutely sure of it. It's just if they take them.
Yeah, big focus on Higuain, whether he can produce in a final, but I think Juventus are as good a team. I think they've got the good parts of Bayern Munich with a little bit more defensive solidity, and I'd love to see Buffon win it, so I'm going to say 2-1 Juventus.
I'd love to see Buffon win it as well. I think it'll probably go the distance, actually. I can see it being an extra time penalties job, but I've watched so much of Real Madrid under Zidane, and they just find a way. Even games where you think they shouldn't, they just find a way. Sergio Ramos winner in the 119th minute. That's what happened.
As long as it's better than the 1998 final.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.